This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 25th, 2016, the Nativity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Mass in the Day, by Father William Doc Holliday.
And light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A blessed Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ to you all. That's the response that you make when people say Happy Holidays. I say Merry Christmas. You respond with Blessed Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you're raising some eyebrows. Christmas is a good time. Christmas is a good time for everybody. You don't have to be a believer to, like, I always tell people, I lived in Afghanistan for over a year, and it was really kind of weird. Afghanistan, you'll see a whole lot of churches, like none. At Christmas time, you would see on cars and in windows little Christmas trees. It's like, really? Afghanistan? Why? Are those people Christian? No, it's just Christmas. Even in Afghanistan, it's Christmas. Christmas is a good time for everybody. Christmas should be absolutely overwhelming for us. If we have midnight mass and we have all the good stuff going on and we have Christmas cards and presents and all that good stuff. And I'm not going to get into the keep Jesus as the reason for the season and all the other campy bumper stinkers that are great, but it is so much more profound than that, or ought to be for us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We think about Christmas, and it is truly unfortunate. And it's not like we can point fingers outside and go, oh, people that aren't Catholics, they believe this, or they don't pay attention to this. And you know, when we think about that, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is a mystery of God. It is a mystery as to how Almighty God, the Creator of all things, the one who spoke and all things leapt into existence out of nothing. He's so true. We don't get it. He's way out there. That's God thing. We don't know. We don't understand. We can't get. He became a baby. Became a baby. He left heaven and came down. We want to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go through the stuff that we need to go through to get there, but everybody talks the good talk about wanting to get into heaven. We want to go there. We want to go there, and he was there. He was there for all eternity, in perfect bliss with the other two members of the undivided Trinity, the Father and the Holy Ghost. And he left and came out and lived in this. And it was a whole lot worse when he lived here than it is now, as far as a comfort thing anyway. I actually think it was probably more pious back in his day than it is now. But he came down and lived in this. Can't explain that. That's right. You can explain that. It defies human reason, the how-to. It is one of the mysteries of faith, the incarnation. But when we look at the incarnation, and, well, that's what we do at Christmas. We hear about it a bunch. Might even think about it in Advent as we approach. If you're doing things right, that's great. But do you really get your heart around what's going on? Do you really appreciate this fact that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? Or do you look at what we hear when we hear things like that, or when we read Christmas cards? Is that a history lesson for us, or is it something that is present in our lives? Christmas is not only a past event. As a matter of fact, for us, that is a distant second as to what it is. Christmas is not only a past event, it is even more a present event, particularly for Catholics. Glory in this, Catholics, that you have something going for you that others don't even claim to have that bear the title Christian. They don't claim that bread and wine, as a matter of fact, they deny it, that bread and wine on their altars change into anything. We are the only ones. Protestants can't agree among themselves about stuff. Believe you me, I've been there. You know, they all unchurch one another. They, you know, you're going to hell for this. They can't agree. The only thing they can agree on across the board. Well, actually, two things. One, you can never be Catholic. If you're a Methodist, you can become a Baptist. If you're a Baptist, you can become a Lutheran. That's all cool. You can't become a Catholic. That's one thing they agree on. Another thing they agree on is nothing happens at the Lord's Supper. It's symbolic. It's just a metaphor. No, it's not. Why do we say that? Well, that's what Catholics believe. No, that's what Jesus Christ said. He says, "This is my body. This is my blood." Not, "This is my body in a spiritual sense," or "This is my blood in a metaphorical sense." This is my body. This is my blood. There are Greek words for spiritual and metaphor. They're used in Scripture. They're not used there. Much less John chapter 6, when our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and everybody gets up and leaves, except for his apostles. And he doesn't look at them and go, "I can't believe they left. I was speaking metaphorically. I was speaking spiritually." He looks at them and says, "Are you going to leave too?" And they say, Peter says, I'm paraphrasing, "We don't get it. But where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." We don't get it. We don't get the incarnation. We don't get the Eucharist. But all this being said, to make the Christmas story present for us, this is not a history lesson. Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Eucharist that we can enjoy and be thankful for and glory in the fact that every time we come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, every single time, that it is absolutely, positively, objectively, no different than if you had been at the manger in the presence of Jesus. What? Yeah. Jesus Christ is as really present on this altar after the words of consecration as he was in Bethlehem. And when you think about that, it would be cool as all get out to be able to jump in a time machine. I'd love to go back to Bethlehem in the manger and hold the infant Jesus in my arms. Yeah, that would be glorious. How much more do we have when we can actually receive the divinity into ourselves? When you come to the altar rail, it's not here, hold this in your hands for a second, now give it back. You take our Lord Jesus Christ into your very being. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Because he knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He knows that if it's just a history lesson, that we'll forget. Yeah? I have a history quiz about something that happened 200 years ago and probably not going to do well unless you go home and read about it, bone up on it, much less something that happened 2,000 years ago. So what does God do to fix that? To make your faith as real for you as it was for the Blessed Virgin Mary, as it was for the shepherds, as it was for all the apostles, for the medieval saints, the martyrs, everyone. To make your faith as real for you, he has instituted the Eucharist. Take me, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into yourself. Always point out that everything else that we bring into ourselves becomes part of us. It's the only thing that we bring into ourselves that we become part of it, him, God. Every time, if you approach in faith and obedience and with a proper spiritual disposition, how glorious is that to think that we live Christmas every single Mass? I love Christmas. You should love the Mass more. I don't get anything in the Mass. I hear stuff like that. I didn't get anything out of that. That's your fault. Nobody else's but yours. It's not God's fault. So when you have your friends say that, respond like that. Because that jars people. Try to talk nice about things. It doesn't necessarily change things for people. I didn't get anything out of Mass. You didn't bring anything to it. You didn't do anything for it to get anything out of it. That's your fault, no one else's. Then it gets them thinking. They might get upset with you, but it'll still get them thinking. If nothing else, that you got an attitude problem. They're going to try to figure out some way to argue against you. You get them thinking. That's what this is about. It makes things real for us. That is why we should be so thankful at Christmas. Because not a history lesson, but what he has done for us and what he continues to give to us. And it's just not even present, it's future. You raise your children the way they should be raised, and they embrace the faith and obedience, then they too, and their kids, and their grandkids, and their great-grandkids, all the way down the line, should the Lord tarry, are going to receive the same thing that you receive this very day. We are, objectively, and even in a better way, at the manger every time we come to Mass, just not on Christmas Day. And we should be overwhelmed with the gratitude that we show our Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for us. For him to come down and to give himself for us, his self-giving, the voluntary sacrifice at the cross, redeeming us from our sins, to purify us as a people to himself, and to be zealous for good works. That is why he came, for us to engage in him. Not just with him, not me and Jesus, you in Christ, you as the body of Christ, part of him. That's what this is all about. That's the reason for this whole deal. That's why we do it once a year. Like I said, he knows we don't remember well. So it's good to bring it up annually. But it's good to understand perpetually what he's done for us, what he's given for us, and that should elicit within us, as I said, a debt of gratitude that is incomprehensible. St. John Chrysostom says, and I'll leave you with this because it's better than hearing from me to hear from a saint. St. John Chrysostom says, and I quote, "Each individual justly owes a great debt of gratitude to Jesus Christ, as if he had come for that person's sake alone. The measure of his love to each is as great as to the whole. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost."